It's the afternoon cruise, and I'm chatting with Oogie Push. Oogie is from the Meskwaki Nation and is currently creating on Dakota Territory, a.k.a. the Twin Cities. She's an actor, writer, storyteller, dancer, a Meskwaki twine bag weaver, a production assistant, and an award-winning documentarian. She is the playwright and lead performer for the Full Circle production, The Adventures of a Traveling Meskwaki. The show opens this evening at Park Square Theater in downtown St. Paul, and it runs through the 24th. Oogie, thank you so much for visiting Jazz 88.
Thank you so much for having me. It's a pleasure to be here.
Now, Oogie, I had the joy of seeing one of your final open dress rehearsals on Wednesday night, and there's a through line in this play, which you wrote, which is water. But there's another through line, which is you. Your childhood in Iowa and the Meskwaki settlement, your experiences in college, your travels around North America, your returning to the Meskwaki settlement to be with family and to aid transitions for many family members. And throughout the piece, the water follows you, the way it enticed you, scared you, hurt you, taught you, and saved you, and the way that you followed the water. When you started working on this piece, did you know that you and water would be the centerpiece right away, or did that take a while to realize?
I knew that water was going to be the centerpiece, and I didn't know that I would also be the through line, but I also know as a theater maker that the more specific you make a story, the more the audience can identify with it. And I was hoping that it would trigger something in the audience in their childhood or in their life that they can think back towards and see themselves in this play.
That was certainly my experience seeing the work was because you were also the through line, there was something very intimate about it. It didn't feel like I'm telling you this kind of universal story. It was universal because it was personal. I was able to see the way you danced, the way you laughed, the way you interacted with the water around your childhood home. And I immediately, I think it's human nature. I thought about my own history, my own childhood. And then I followed when things were different than what I had experienced, when things were the same as I'd experienced. But the water connecting you and you connecting us to the story was just really nice way to take what is a pretty epic story. It's your story, Oogie, but it's not like Square in Iowa. You've been all around North America. And you also, to tell your story, you used a lot of other voices, including your own voice pre-recorded, but you used other actors that join you on stage. And you sat down and you worked on this piece and you knew water would come and you also knew that you would at some point be the through line in it. How did you maintain your voice and your identity while spreading the narrative to other actors, to other voices, to pre-recorded work of your own and of others?
Well, the piece was originally a one-woman show, and I did an experimental version for a dance residency, and I found that the use of movement really helped bring the piece alive in a way that me telling a story could not. Mm. And even the way like video footage wouldn't have been able to convey the movement that I wanted to convey. And so it was super helpful to have additional people that, you know, it's a cast of five. And then it was just, I tried to create this order so that we could remember who was speaking after which. And it sort of just worked out in the way that things work out. Yeah. when it's creativity, it's just magic. And, you know, just talking with the other actors and this is how I would say it. This is Meskwaki vernacular. This is how we say things. And this is what I do. And so just finding those moments where we each get to play the character Oogie and where we're other people. And I thought that was super helpful because there are things that are being said in the play that I knew that if I said them, I would probably get emotional after saying them too many times, and so I wanted to protect my own spirit. Mm-hmm. And then so that's why some things are pre-recorded, some things other people are saying, like Bruce King is a name that comes up in the show, and that was my theater mentor of over 20 years, and he passed away in 2019, and so sometimes saying his name is emotionally difficult for me because I miss him so much, and so I assigned that to another actor.
Now, when you're sharing your role and your personage with different voices, here's my flip side question, Oogie. How do you let them bring themselves to the part? When you go, hey, that's not how we would say it. That's not how a Meskwaki would say it. How do you go, okay, I got to let this breathe and let these people occupy my spirit. How do you share that?
I actually had worked with a couple of the actors that are in the show previously, so I knew who they were. I knew how they talked. I knew how they moved. And I wanted them to be in the piece. I knew that they could fit into this container of being Oogie, but also being themselves in the way that I couldn't be. And so, and then there are two actors that I didn't know, but the other people knew them and vouched for them and trusted them. So I was like, okay, bring them, let's go. And just allowing them to be, because it's, like I said, I wanted this to be, you know, a more universal story. And then so having these different types of people in the show sort of represent the other people.
I'm chatting with Oogie Push, an actor and playwright who is debuting her new Full Circle Theater production, The Adventures of a Traveling Miss Gwocky, this evening at Park Square Theater in downtown St. Paul. The show runs until the 24th. The content of this play, Oogie, is very personal. Yet, making a play, you have to be willing to cut scenes, you have to be willing to change narratives, you have to be willing to let the director get in your business, especially when you're wearing these multiple hats of you're the subject matter of the play, you're the lead actor, and you're the playwright. Tell me about the editing process. Tell me about the difficulty of having an ensemble of collaborators going, we got to change this part. Like when it's your story, it's not a story you wrote about my life. It's not a story you wrote about a musician in Paris. It's your life. How did you deal with the editing and the directorial work?
There was quite a bit of collaboration in the rehearsal room. And, you know, there would be actors who would be saying a line and they're like, this doesn't make sense. And I'm like, well, it's kind of, if you say it this way, it makes sense. And then we would keep it. Or other times I would hear what they're saying. I'm like, oh, I understand what you're hearing. I am saying, and what you're saying does make more sense, you know? So yeah, let's change it to this. Let's change this line. Let's cut this thing out. And just so we can get the flow going. So it was a very collaborative process.
Good for you. It's got to be hard to be collaborative when it's your story. That takes a lot of courage and a lot of humility. And I saw that on stage, but I imagine that's got to be an uphill battle.
Yeah, there were definitely some moments where I was like, no, it's got to be this way. And it's said this way. And then they're like, oh, I get it. I hear it now.
There's a lot of powerful moments in this play, a lot of really beautiful moments, a lot of joyous moments, but a lot of moments of tragedy, personal tragedy, larger tragedies, water-related tragedies, of course. One of the things I connected with was actually you went to Haskell Indian Nations University, and I believe right when you're sort of talking about getting into the theater program there, you and the entire cast pronounced the word theater, right?
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
That was a moment of humor and of levity, but it was also one of those moments where I was reminded that theater, for all the good it's done, has done a lot to keep marginalized people out of the space. There's a way when you say theater, mm-hmm. you sort of feel like we're going, we just want you to know that this is for people who can at least fake a British accent and have this certain vibe and this certain hoity-toityness.
Mm-hmm.
One thing I loved about your play and the other production I saw you in is that it's very approachable. It's very human to human. And that's one of the great things about theater in general. But I wanted to ask you, there's people listening right now who might think that they don't belong in theater, who might need that message to let them know that it's not theater, it's theater. And, mm-hmm. and we want stories, we want lives. And I know that that's actually a big part of the mission of the group that is putting this on, the Full Circle production. So to anybody who might think that they don't belong running the lights, handling the cues, speaking on stage, writing, directing, do you have any words of guidance for them as you found your way really successfully into this world of theater?
There are so many ways to be involved in theater. And I think if we remember that at our core as human beings, we're storytellers. And so as being storytellers, theater is for us. It doesn't matter if it's, you know, in the past, it's been seen as this sort of epic Shakespearean thing, but it's about storytelling. It's about humanness and connection. And that's what we all have inherently within us. And I think if you want to get into theater, do it. You know, the best way to do it is just to do theater and to take up space, because there's enough room for all of us.
I agree with you, Oogie, and I think it's beautiful to see you do that and the space you're taking up. As I was writing the little introduction for this interview, I write actor, writer, storyteller, dancer, Miss Gwocky twine bag weaver, production assistant, and a documentarian. You kind of check all those boxes in this 90-minute production, right? Like, you brought a lot of yourself to this thing, and it comes through loud and clear because it doesn't look like you pulled punches with the hard parts of your story. It doesn't look like you pulled punches with the joyous parts of your story. You laid it out there and you shared it, and it's courageous and it's beautiful. And I applaud you for doing it. And I just really thank you not only for telling the stories on stage, but taking the time to tell the stories with Jazz 88 as well.
Thank you.
Oogie Push is preparing to debut The Adventures of a Traveling Meskwaki. The show opens this evening at Park Square Theater in downtown St. Paul, and it runs through the 24th. Oogie, thank you so much for visiting Jazz 88, and good luck tonight and for the rest of the run.
Thanks. Enjoy your afternoon cruise.